This hour of the Howie Car Show podcast is brought to you by the Howie Car Show store. If you can't get enough of Howie, you can buy Howie's books, t-shirts, and more. Go to HowieCarShow.com and click store.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Car Show.
It was boxing in the 1950s. You wait for the other guy, Carmen Basilio or something like that, to get a cut over their eye.
I'd like to talk about who we're running against. A billionaire who calls women fat broads and horse-faced lesbians. And no, I'm not talking about Donald Trump. I'm talking about Mayor Bloomberg.
And then you keep punching the cut over their eye.
None of them accused me of doing anything other than maybe they didn't like the joke I told. And let me
over and over and over again. That's what they did to Bloomberg. She knew his weakness was the NDA, and she kept punching the spot, and it kept bleeding and bleeding.
Mr. Mayor, are you willing to release all of those women from those non-disclosure agreements?
He had no way to stop it. Didn't have a cut, man.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
What a wonderful country we have. The best-known socialist in the country happens to be a millionaire with three houses. What did I miss here?
Well, you'll miss that I work in Washington, House 1.
That's the first problem.
Live in Burlington, House 2.
That's good.
And like thousands of other Vermonters, I do have a summer camp. Forgive me for that.
This is not a summer camp.
Unchained and unstoppable.
The DNC is going to take it away from Bernie again.
I thought it was a great night for Bernie Sanders. I thought it was a great night for Donald Trump. I thought it was a terrible night for the Democrats.
It is a death sentence for the party, and it will lead to Donald Trump's reelection, in my view.
I just don't see him having any shot in a general election. I'm panicked. I am absolutely panicked.
Oh, my God. Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
What's the procedure, everyone? What's the procedure?
Stay calm.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Money can't buy you love. Or a decent debate performance. $400 million, and that's all he got out of it. Just beaten around the head and shoulders. It could have been worse, of course. Chris Matthews talking about the old fights. It could have been worse. He could have ended up like Benny Perrette in 1962, pummeled into the canvas by Emil Griffith. Died a couple of days later. Of course, I don't think Bloomberg is going to die. But this is not good news for his campaign. It was beautiful, though, wasn't it? I mean, when was the last time you saw a good Democrat debate? That was fun. The fake Indian scalped Michael Bloomberg. She was on the warpath. And even Bernie Sanders, I mean, he's the ultimate winner, I think, because he was the front runner going in. And the suicide bomber in a debate, the kamikaze pilot, never prevails. It never pays off. Just ask Chris Christie in 2016 when he dive bombed Marco Rubio in New Hampshire, and a few days later he finished, I think, fifth or sixth in the New Hampshire primary, and Donald Trump won it going away. I think Bernie will win the Nevada caucuses, and unless, of course, they figure out some way to screw up the count like they did in Iowa to protect Mayor Pete again. You know, 508 is saying when the fake Indian pushed Minnie Mike to release his non-disclosures, he missed the chance to ask her to release her application to Harvard. I was thinking the same thing, 508, and not just the application to Harvard, but the employment application to the University of Pennsylvania Law School. Yeah, but you know, he didn't want to get dragged down into that. I mean, but he should have had a better answer than he had, which was nothing. And here's another thing. Did you notice that even though they were really going after him, they were aiming for his head all night long, they still kept calling him NDAs, non-disclosure agreements that he had with the women who worked at Bloomberg. You remember what they called the NDAs when they were reporting about Donald Trump's NDA with Stormy Daniels and the other woman whose name I can't remember. They kept calling it hush money. You know, Bloomberg took a lot of grief last night. He is a former Republican. He did endorse George W. Bush. Again, what was the alternative? John Forbes Kerry. Any sane person voted for Bush, even though Bush was a big disappointment. But they but he still gets a bit of a pass. He doesn't get accused of paying hush money to the women. It's just an NDA. Sounds very antiseptic, doesn't it? Sounds almost clean. But what's up with his phlegmatic bored look? I mean, the whole night was just weird. You know, I mean, you had Mayor Pete and Amy Klobuchar going after each other. They were like two little kids in the back seat, you know, brother and sister, you know, going on a long trip on a hot summer day, and they're getting bored. They've seen, you know, they've seen the movie too many times, and they're just squabbling. And they're just going after one another. And, you know, I kept waiting for Elizabeth Warren to turn around and say, "Kids, shut up. Your father and I are having an argument here in the front seat." It was 860 says, "Do you have the Indian saying horse-faced lesbians?" That was the high. Yeah, it's in the intro. Come on. It's in the intro. Fat broads and horse-faced lesbians. It is one of the great sound bites of the year. And it showed that, you know, she did a little research. She doesn't have the budget, obviously, that Minnie Mike has. But all you had to do was read the Wall Street Journal story. And the Wall Street Journal story that sort of put all of the sexual harassment and misogynistic complaints about Bloomberg in one place. They included the entire brochure that his employees did of his famous quotes, and one of them was the horse-faced lesbian and fat broads. So, you know, there was only one conclusion that Bloomberg could have drawn after last night. Cut number one. Okay.
Another question. Go ahead, Senator Warren. Go ahead, Senator Warren.
So,
What am I, chicken liver? What am I, chicken liver? 844-500-4242. That's the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. We've got so many cuts to play here today. We'll try to take a lot of calls here in the early hours. And you know, there's just one thing that Bloomberg has got to hope. I guess it's probably too late, but this is if he had his wishes, he'd probably pay $1 million to make this come true. Cut 48.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
A little late, though. A little late. It's not going to stay in Vegas. 844-500-4242. That's the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. And I'm just looking around here for some other cuts here. And we always like to start off with some Uncle Joe. You know, so if you think of this as a long car trip and the family's in the car, the kids are Klobuchar and Buttigieg, and the squabbling grown-ups are the fake Indian and Minnie Mike. And so then you also have sitting in the back seat is Grandpa Biden. He's looking for the tapioca pudding in the cooler. And he's just talking nonsense as he goes by. So this is just a couple of Biden's nonsensical statements as we go into the break here. Cut number six. He's talking about stop and frisk in New York. Cut six.
He didn't get a whole lot done. He had stop and frisk, throwing close to 5 million young black men up against the wall. And when we came along in our administration, President Obama, and said we're going to send in a moderator to a mediator to stop it, he said that's unnecessary.
You're going to send in a moderator to stop it. A moderator. Okay, and then he talks about Bernie voting against the amnesty bill in 2006 to let another 6 million or so illegal aliens go on to the welfare rolls officially. Cut 7.
The only person in here has the worst record on immigration is Bernie, because Bernie voted against the 2007 bill.
Right.
Had,
thank
in
you.
Fact,
thank
that
you.
Immigration bill passed,
thank
there would
you,
be
Mr.
10, 6 million members okay. would be now American citizens.
Right. 6 million members would now be American citizens. Okay. All right. 844-500-4242. Paul, the UPS guy, says, isn't lying dog-faced pony soldier worse than what Bloomberg called these women? I don't know, Paul. That would be, maybe that would be a good poll question. What's worse to be called, a horse-faced lesbian or a lying dog-faced pony soldier? No, that's just a joke. Well, that's not going to be our poll question. 844-500-4242. Twitter is saying that Bloomberg had high-rise shoes on. We were speculating on that last night during the show. I don't know if it's true or not, but it didn't look like he had a box, but it looked like Amy had a box. But Trump once again tactically surprised and humiliated one of his opponents, in this case, Mini Mike. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to the Howie Carr Radio Network.
This is Paul in North Andover, Mass.
This is Luana in Lexington, Massachusetts.
This is Lauren in Augusta, Maine, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Hearing Help Express. Order your free hearing loss information kit today for yourself or a loved one. Call 1-800-353-5200. That's 1-800-353-5200. Matt, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will the DNC let Bernie be the nominee?
That's a good question. I am going. They don't want him to be the nominee, but I don't think they have much choice, because again, they will, as that guy Kyle Jurek, his criminal organizer in Iowa, said they're going to burn down Milwaukee if he doesn't get the nomination. So I'm going to say yes, they're going to let him become the nomination. Yes,
78% said no.
Okay. Again, you guys may be right. I'm just thinking that if they think it through, there are worse disasters than losing 49 states. Although they can't think of one right now, but that's how did you like when Bernie talked about his summer camp? I mean, someone's pointing out, don't they call them DACAs or DACAs? I don't even know how you pronounce it. That's what the Commissars in the Soviet Union called their spots on the Caspian Sea or the Black Sea or wherever they had their spots. His isn't on the Caspian Sea. It's on Lake Champlain, but it's the same difference. 844-500-4242. 617, I hate Warren too, but you're underestimating your opponent. You were crawling too much, or you were crowing much too early. The Dems have no one, and they know it, so it's kind of moot. She had a second record fundraising night. They always say, you know, when they have a good debating night, they always say they have a record fundraising night. What does that really mean, though? You know, they've already had this early voting in the caucuses, although I'm still perplexed. How do you have early voting in caucuses? Caucus, to me, the definition is you're all together in a room and you make a decision. So how can you have an early vote when everybody's supposed to be in the room together? And now there are stories coming out that the people who early voted, quote unquote, in the caucuses, their votes, they didn't sign the vote, so they weren't told to sign their vote, so they're all going to be thrown out. So you have another perhaps disaster in the making in Nevada, just like Iowa. And guess what? It's another victory that will be stolen from Bernie. So maybe there is something to the fact that the DNC is going to try to take it away from him. But you know, here's the thing: Warren herself brought up what does Mini Mike do to make up for the disaster of last night? Cut number 23.
his performance tonight, I have no doubt. He is about to drop tonight another $100 million in this campaign.
Why would his performance lead to more spending?
Oh, come on. In order to try to erase America's memory of what happened on that debate stage.
But that's...
I mean, that's a good line right there, isn't it? I mean, I thought that she would come out and just pull her punches and talk about babies and mamas and daddies and the ragged edge of the middle class. And she just came out swinging. I mean, she's still on the ropes, but at least she's going down fighting. You got to give her credit for that. And again, I'm obviously not a fan of the fake Indian. But let's
just play. My dad texted me this morning, and the first thing he said was, Howie's going to actually like Elizabeth Warren today. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. And I agreed. I mean, this is the definition of politics makes strange bedfellows. Like, everyone all of a sudden is thinking to themselves, wow, she did a pretty good job.
Yeah. When you get backed into a corner and there's no way out, I mean, even if you, don't have the fire in your belly, you come out swinging. Let's play the big takedown line of the night. And you know the other thing about this is it was right out off the top, you know, because you know how many people stayed with it the whole 2 hours. I know I didn't, but she just came right because she knew that the maximum audience was going to be right at the top, and so she didn't save her punch for the second half kickoff. She went right to his throat. Cut eight.
I'd like to talk about who we're running against. A billionaire who calls women fat broads and horse-faced lesbians. And no, I'm not talking about Donald Trump. I'm talking about Mayor Bloomberg. Democrats are not going to win.
Wow. Wow. Lou, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Lou.
Yeah, Howie. Before I get to my main point, there was one Liz Warren thing of the night when she mentioned when she was going on about the 2 cents of wealth tax.
Yeah.
You got to play that one time. It was almost like she had taken an aphrodisiac or was on LSD the way she was talking about it. It was going to pay for everything.
I know. Well, she's been talking about this 2 cents thing, you know. I mean, two cents on a dollar, but it's 50. It starts at 50 million under her plan, 32 million under Bernie's plan. That's $1 million, right? Of every 50 million that you own. I mean, they're never going to get that money. We've talked about this. I think at one time there were 20 countries in the industrialized world that had this tax, and now it's down to 7 because it didn't work. People hid the money. They gave the money away to their relatives to get under whatever the benchmark was. They in France, they actually fled the country. They immigrated out of the country to escape. It's ridiculous. It would never work in a million years. And she knows it, and Bernie knows it. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back. I'm Howie Carr.
Do you or a loved one have trouble hearing over the telephone or need to turn up the TV volume so loud that others complain or find it hard to follow conversations at the dinner table or in a restaurant? Let's face it, hearing problems can be embarrassing. That's why Hearing Help Express takes away the anguish and embarrassment of hearing loss. Better Hearing has never been so convenient and affordable with simple to use, hard to see, and easy to afford hearing aids and professional care delivered right to your own home. And the best part? Hearing Help Express cuts out the middleman, saving you over 50% and an inconvenient trip to an audiologist's office. Right now, Hearing Help Express is offering a free, no-obligation hearing loss information kit that includes a hearing assessment with special offers and discounts. I love their information kit and have taken the assessment myself. It's fast, easy, and informative. Call Hearing Help Express today at 800-353-5200. Call 800-353-5200. That's 800-353-5200. Use promo code Howie.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. To get an indication, though, of the kind of party that the Democrats have become, I want you to listen to this one. Bernie and Bloomberg, and you know, Bloomberg is talking about, you know, we're not going to do away with capitalism. We've tried communism, and this is the whole thing. But the thing to pay attention to in this cut is the audience's reaction here. Cut 35.
Poll released yesterday, two-thirds of all voters said they were uncomfortable with a socialist candidate for president. What do you say to those voters, sir?
What was the result of that poll? Who was winning?
Yeah. The questions to you.
Well, the question was that I was winning, and I think by a fairly comfortable margin. Might mention that. But here is the point. Let's talk about democratic socialism, not communism, Mr. Bloomberg. That's a cheap shot.
Oh, we didn't get the applause in. They applauded him then when he said it was a cheap shot to call it communism. I mean, they're on Bernie's side. They don't want it to be called communism. It is communism, though. 844-500-4242. Here's Bloomberg's this is probably Bloomberg's best line of the night when he's talking about the socialist millionaire Bernie. Cut 41.
What a wonderful country we have. The best-known socialist in the country happens to be a millionaire with three houses. What'd I miss here?
Well, you'll miss that I work in Washington, House one.
That's the first problem.
Stop right there. I think that was the best line of the night for Bloomberg. That's the first problem. I totally agree with him on that. That is the first problem. All these people are living in Washington. Go ahead. Keep playing.
The first problem.
Live in Burlington, house two.
That's good.
And like thousands of other Vermonters, I do have a summer camp. Forgive me for that. But where is your home? Which tax haven
New
do
York,
you have your home?
New York City, thank you very much. Yeah, well, and I pay all my home. Taxes. I'm happy to do it.
A summer camp. You know, Bernie wasn't as well prepared as the fake Indian was. I mean, the fake Indian came out with the stuff about the horse-faced lesbian and the fat broad. She actually had read the stories. I mean, Bernie or his aides should have briefed him on that Wall Street Journal story that went over the houses that Bloomberg had. He's got, if you count it up, I think it was 2 weeks ago in the mansion section, 14 houses.
Yeah, but Howie, if I
14,
were...
not which house? You know, you got 14 houses. That's 11 more than me. How about that, Grace?
But if I were Bloomberg, I would turn around and say, I'm not claiming that everyone should pay their fair share and be a socialist. That's what you're claiming.
Right.
If you are a supporter of capitalism, you can have as many houses as you choose. It's only if you stand up on a soapbox and want us all to be like in Venezuela that people have a problem with your houses.
No exactly. You know, I've made much sport of all these Massachusetts liberal politicians like John Kerry and more recently the fake Indian who want to raise everybody's taxes, but they don't check the box to pay the higher tax themselves voluntarily on the Massachusetts state income tax form. And sometimes the libs, you've seen it, Grace, they call in or they post on the message board, does Howie check the box? Well, of course I don't check the box to pay higher taxes, but I'm not asking everybody else to pay higher taxes. I want to cut everybody's taxes. It's a little bit of a different thing. Do you remember a long time ago, the first year Ray Flynn was elected mayor, 1983. Wow, it's going back a long ways now. He was running against a couple of people, Mel King and David Finnegan was his main competitor in the preliminary, David I. Finnegan, president of the school committee. And Finnegan talked about Flynn's flip-flopping, and he ran an ad saying, Ray Flynn, he's a political chameleon. And that night they had a televised live mini debate, and Ray Flynn said to Dave Finnegan, "You call me a lizard. You call me a lizard." So we were getting a little bit of that last night, the two squabbling kids, the brother and sister act in the back seat. This is, Mayor Pete is giving her grief for not remembering or not knowing the name of the president of Mexico. And incidentally, about that, did you see Joe Biden say, you know, I've worked with the presidents of Mexico? Wasn't the obvious follow-up question, okay, Joe, name one. Name two. Because, you know, he would have just said, Can I have some tapioca over here? But anyway, so Klobuchar is getting grief from Pete about not knowing the name of the Mexican president. Cut 44.
But you're staking your candidacy on your Washington experience. You're on the committee that oversees border security. You're on the committee that does trade. You're literally in part of the committee that's overseeing these things. And we're not able to speak to literally the first thing about the politics of the country to ourselves.
Are you trying to say that I'm dumb? Or are you mocking me here, Pete?
This is a race for president. If winning a race for Senate in Minnesota translated directly to becoming president, I would have grown up under the presidency of Walter Mondale. This is different. And the reason that I think we need to talk about Washington experience is that we should ask what that experience has led to. Experience is, and certainly tenure, is not always the same thing as judgment. If we're going to talk about votes in the Senate in Washington, let's talk about it.
Hello.
Kids, shut up.
Going to run based on
your mother and I are having an argument in the back, in the front seat. Stop kicking the seats.
I thought Pete came off so bad in that whole interaction. I don't use this card a lot, but he did seem like he was mansplaining. He was so arrogant and so sanctimonious and talking to her like she was a little kid. And he's like, you want to do this, and you don't even know this. I would have said, you know, Pete, you're not such a hot shot either. Like, they're also afraid to be mean to each other. It's like, if someone was talking to me like that on stage, I would start bringing out the big guns. Because he seemed like nothing but a little pipsqueak jerk.
She's, you know, I keep saying they're like brother and sister in the back seat, but she's almost old enough to be his mother, you know? I mean, he was talking down to her. But, you know, I think Grace, he wanted to get out that line about, you know, because she keeps talking about, I won all these elections in Minnesota. I even won Michelle Bachmann's district when I ran, you know, the conservative former Republican congresswoman. I even won Michelle Bachmann's district when I ran for the Senate. And you know, that was a good line about Fritz Mondale, you know. And then the other thing that the Fritz Mondale line reminds everybody of is, he lost 49 states, didn't he? 49 states. And he actually lost 50 states, but I think they let him steal Minnesota just so he wouldn't feel too bad.
Howie, you know? I totally disagree. I thought that line sounded so rehearsed, like he was just building up to it. It was so rehearsed. And honestly, most people don't even know who that is. So he didn't connect with the youth or anything. He sounded like a complete bully.
Yeah. I was surprised it got that little. I mean, I thought it was a pretty amusing line. But you're right. I mean, obviously people have forgotten Fritz Mondale. They go, Fritz Mondale, wasn't his daughter doing Clinton in the Oval Office way back when, before Monica? Yeah, that's the one. That's the vice president. Yes, you've got it. 844-500-4242. Matt, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Matt.
Howie, quick question. How do you say annoying broad in Cherokee?
But didn't you think she made some good points? I mean, she cut the little fella down to size, didn't she?
Yeah, she knocked him down an inch or two. But my real point is this: everything that the DNC and the Democrats have tried to avoid, basically each of the candidates eating each other and really calling them out for all of their many warts, they allowed that to happen last night by putting Bloomberg up there, because Bloomberg said what Trump's going to say and basically called him out for being socialist, and he pants them all, and then he looks horrible, and he's the only one that has a shot at beating Trump because of the money, but he comes across horrible because he's everything that the Democrats don't want. So a total miscalculation by Bloomberg and the DNC.
And, you know, the other thing, too, is that they have these debate, quote-unquote, moderators that haven't been moderating any debates because they're just dealing with Democrats and they want to make everybody look good because they're all on the same team. And so in some cases, like Chuck Todd's wife has actually taken money in the last cycle from Bernie Sanders. So they don't even make a pretense of asking real questions like about, oh, I don't know, foreign policy. Or the economy? Were there any questions about foreign policy or the economy? I don't think so. Right? They just let it turn into a food fight. And I mean, it was very amusing stuff, especially if you're a Trump supporter. I mean, I loved it. John Podoritz in the New York Post today said it was the greatest debate in world history. And he may be right from an entertainment perspective. Clint, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Clint.
Yeah, Bloomberg, I think, just threw himself in the thing to take the punches from, you know, the DNC candidates like Warren and, Joe. But I definitely don't think he likes Sanders. But it's just blatantly obvious that it was scripted, the whole thing. You know, it's just,
what do you mean?
It was a bad script, though.
Well, I mean, what do you mean it was scripted? I mean, I didn't expect any of that. I mean, I expected that he would take a few punches, but I didn't think that they were going to come out with, both guns blazing on him, all of them.
I don't think he actually even wants to be president, but because he even says he's going to back up anybody who does get the nomination. So, and I think that's why they probably got their big fundraising numbers, because he's probably, putting the money on the side, but getting the money from him.
I think the biggest thing with Bloomberg is it's kind of a Romney-esque situation where, Romney is angry that Trump succeeded where he and his father couldn't succeed. And I think Bloomberg, he has a problem with Trump because they're both from New York City. They're both billionaires. And yet Bloomberg has multiple times more billions than Trump, and yet Trump is the president, and Bloomberg is just this angry, short little rich guy running around. And so Bloomberg wants to he wants to get revenge. I mean, he's got $60 billion. What kind of revenge does he need? Isn't living well the best revenge, as they always say? Thanks for the call, Clint. Lee, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Lee.
Whoa. It was Bernie who got the dig in about you didn't make the $60 billion by yourself. I thought it would be Elizabeth. But then Elizabeth, she said that she would back any of the Democratic candidates. So I said to myself, yeah, I bet you she wants a man to win so she can get chased around the desk again.
Oh, come on. Come on, Lee. That would indicate that she'd ever been chased around the desk. The guy that she said chased her around the desk was in a wheelchair, and he had a serious smoking habit. He was probably in an iron lung on the day that she now claims that he chased her around the desk. Thanks for the call there, Lee. I'm Howie Carr.
The paper boy with a big microphone. Howie Carr.
This is Lynn in sunny Las Vegas.
This is Dan from the Moonbat capital of Jamaica Plain.
This is Gigi in Leominster, Massachusetts, and this is The Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. 978 says, didn't Granny Warren speak at the wheelchair-bound guys who chased her around the desk at his funeral? Yes, you have a good memory. Yes, she did. But he was dead, so she tossed him under the bus when it was an opportunity to get on Meet the Press. All right, joining us now on the line is Kevin Frisbee. He is the financial wizard of the Howie Carr Show, and he checks in every week at this time to give us some developments in the market. Kevin, is the market finally reacting to the coronavirus problem, or is this just a couple of days' time to take some profits off the table?
It's actually a residual effect of the coronavirus, and what's going on, Howie, started this week. Few days ago, a company started to warn on the next quarter's earnings. Apple being the biggest one out, first ones to announce that they will take a hit from the coronavirus and the slowdown in China. So I said it last week on the show, and it had some chucklers from some calls from the show and kind of called me out and said, hey, you shouldn't react to things like this in the market. And I don't disagree with that. At the end of the day, it's going to affect the markets. It has to. You can't shut down 60 million Chinese residents and not see something happen with the market. So it just, as I said, it's a good time to pull back. It's a good time to take a look and say, how much risk should I have or do I have, and maybe step to the sideline with some of it.
After the train wreck that was the Democrat debate last night in Las Vegas, I thought the market might go up, because I would say the odds of the president's reelection are higher today than they were 24 hours ago. Aren't they looking forward to that?
I agree with that, Howie. It was a train wreck, as you know. I watched little bits and pieces of it. But at the end of the day, I think the markets expect Trump's going to get reelected at this point. I think it might be baked into the pie. Again, it's going to get overshadowed for the next couple quarters at least on the earnings cut that some of these companies are going to have as an effect of the coronavirus. And again, it's a lot of psychological. I mean, there's more people that die from the flu in the United States than have died from the coronavirus in China. But the psychology part of it is just reason enough for companies to say, hey, you know, we're not going to have the earnings. Let's, you know, for investors and my clients, hey, let's take a step back, take some risk off the table, and then let a couple quarters pass, and then we can move forward.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, four people from Massachusetts were killed in a traffic accident at outside Disney World this week, you know? I mean, that's you know, but yet that's not on the news. Two people die in Japan, elderly people on one of those cruise ships. That's worldwide headlines. But anyway, what do you want to tell people about? What offers have you got for our listeners from Frisbee Associates? What's your phone number, by the way, Kevin?
Yeah, phone number, Howie, is 1-800-989-9100. And I just got in the mail a whole shipment of our quarterly newsletter, and a big two-three-page article in that is the seven potential pitfalls of retirement planning. So I'm going to send that out. It can't be PDF. We're going to have to send it in the mail. But if anybody wants to call, I'm going to get that out in the mail to them anywhere in your listener area. It's 1-800-989-9100.
1-800-989-9100. I guess Joe Biden will be needing one of those because he's planning to retire very shortly, probably a couple of days after Super Tuesday, Kevin.
I think he should have retired a long time ago, in my view. But, yeah, hey, you know what? All the listeners, like I said, seven pitfalls of retirement or potential pitfalls of retirement, my newsletter, I'll send it in the mail, 800-989-9100. They can find us at frisbeebenefits.com. And by chance, I happen to be in Everett today doing some client events here at the Encore. It's a beautiful place. I don't know if you've been here.
Yeah, I saw their revenues are not what they expected, though. They're doing better with slots, but the table games are off. I guess the demographics are dying off for the table games. That's what's affecting the Encore. But it's cheaper. They're getting more affordable restaurants. They're not charging for parking anymore. It's getting better that way. What? Give me a potential pitfall of retirement, Kevin, just as an example of what you offer.
Not having enough money saved up is one. It's a big one.
That's the big one. Okay. What's your number again if people want the seven pitfalls of retirement?
1-800-989-9100, Howie.
And that's frisbeebenefits.com, FRISBIE. I'm Howie Carr.
This hour of the Howie Carr Show podcast is brought to you in part by the Dirty Rats podcast. Everyone is raving about Dirty Rats. Available wherever you get your podcasts, as well as on DirtyRatsPodcast.com. Binge Dirty Rats today.